Hey, this is Derek Wooten. I'm lead pastor of Makers Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where our desire is to make disciples and make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us through our podcast. We pray this message speaks life and encouragement into you and what God is doing in your life. Hope you enjoy it.
Get feet one more time before we get into the word today. Come on, come on. And listen, go ahead, get your blood moving one more time. Find six people in your neighborhood and say, just like Jesus. Come on, tell them, just like Jesus. We're about to start a new series today. Just like Jesus, just like Jesus. Man. Oh, stay standing just for a minute. Church, I want to tell you this. I love you so much. I'm thankful for you. I'm grateful that we get to be in the earth. I don't know about you. I don't resent at all the fact that God has us here in this season. I get more excited thinking about that God wants to use his church in ways that the world has never seen during this time together. And I'm grateful that we get to be a part of it. And I'm grateful I get to call you family. I'm grateful that my family's here. My dad, my brother-in-law, my sister, my mom. Will you welcome them? Are mom and Ashley out sipping coffee? Is that what they're doing? They're somewhere. They're somewhere. You guys are here. I love you. I'm excited. I'm starting a series today called Just Like Jesus. It is a series and a study on the person and the power of Holy Spirit. And I sense so strongly in this season that the church needs to keep understanding not just who Jesus is, but who the Holy Spirit is. Because how many of you guys know, just like the Father and the Son, we have God, the Holy Spirit. And we need to keep pressing into everything God is doing, and we need to be saying yes to the person of Holy Spirit. And I hope during this series that we can teach and equip in such a way that you really do learn and lean in to everything about the Holy Spirit in your life, because I'm going to tell you something, and you need to believe me when I tell you, because it's the word of the Lord. You're not going to walk in the fullness of God in the earth without the Holy Spirit. You're not going to walk in the fullness of what God has for you without the Holy Spirit active in and through your life. And so, listen, it's my prayer during this series, man, that God just unlocks revelation in so many hearts and minds. We're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Listen, I believe people are going to get baptized fresh and new in the power of the Holy Spirit during this series. But I just want us to every week that we come ready to go a little deeper. Come ready to keep learning. How many of you guys know that old saying is true? The more you know, the more you grow. To learn and grow together. And I just want us to position ourselves to really receive and step into all that God wants to do. So I want everybody right now, I want you to open up your hands like you're getting ready to catch something. And I want to pray a specific prayer, and then we're going to get into this, I believe, this God-ordained time together today. But I want us to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you break off any religious perception, misguided opinion, bad teaching, unfavorable experience, or flat-out lie from the enemy of our souls that has tried to deceive us about the person of Holy Spirit. And I ask today, God, and throughout these several weeks, that our hearts are softened, our spiritual eyes and ears are open, and that every soul begins to long for a true and intimate and personal relationship with you, Holy Spirit. And we ask these things today in Jesus' name. Come on, if you're ready, somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, be seated all over the room today. Hallelujah. Now, listen, we are stepping into the Feast of Pentecost in a couple weeks, and be on the lookout on all of our online platforms. I'll release a teaching about specifically the Feast of Pentecost that you can just continue to learn. How many of you guys are thankful that we can celebrate the Feast of the Lord? Man, there's such a beautiful thing in the spring and the fall that we get to be a part of. I'll be on the lookout for all of those on our online platforms. But church, today as we start this series, Just Like Jesus, I want to lay some foundation, and I want to start right here. And so, listen, get your pens ready. You should have some notes. You could even grab in the seat or on your notes app on your phone. But I believe we're going to learn together. I want to start right here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. We're going to start right here, and we're going to build today, and I believe the Lord's going to work in our hearts and lives. 1 John 2:6, here's what the Bible says. It says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Let's see that one more time. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as who? As Jesus did. We should live our lives as Jesus did. I don't know about you, but that verse hits me hard every time I read it. And it hits me hard because it lets us know very clearly that we are supposed to live just like Jesus. We are supposed to live just like Jesus. Now, here's the thing, church. If to live like Jesus, are you ready? We have to know Jesus and be in covenant with Jesus to live like Jesus. To live like Jesus, we have to know Jesus and be in covenant relationship with him. In other words, are you ready? We need Jesus. If you believe that, somebody say amen. We need Jesus. Listen, it starts out pretty fundamentally. If you want to go to heaven and not hell, you need Jesus. If you want to go to heaven, you need Jesus. Listen, that's right. Just like heaven is real, so is hell. Come on, somebody. One's hot and one's not. And let me tell you, you want to go to heaven. You really want to go to heaven. But listen, for that to happen, you need Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, there is salvation in no one else. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. If you believe the word, say amen. It's very clear, but some people say, but pastor, the world and humanity, they're discovering so many ways to life and truth. Nope, you still need Jesus. There is no other way to the Father except but by Jesus. That's what he said in John 14, 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So what does that mean? That means if you want to have an eternity that is full of every good thing, then you need Jesus. Come on, somebody. So let's just get plain for a minute. If you're watching online, I'm glad that you're here today, but let's talk about it. That means Allah is not getting you into heaven. That means Muhammad is not getting you into heaven. That means Buddha is not getting you into heaven. That means Confucius is not getting you into heaven. That means the Dalai Lama is not getting you into heaven. Nor emperor, no king or queen, not the Virgin Mary, not the Pope, not Scientology, not Sikhism, not Shintoism, not Jainism, humanism, not even good vibes. If you want to get into heaven, honey, you better know Jesus and you better say yes to him in every part of your life. If you're thankful for Jesus, give him praise. Hallelujah. And when I say you need Jesus, let me go here just for a minute. I'm not talking about progressive liberal American Jesus. Can I get a witness? When I say you need Jesus, I'm not talking about progressive liberal American Jesus. Why? Because progressive liberal American Jesus has changed all of his standards and commands so people can live how they want and justify any lifestyle they choose. Baby, when I say you need Jesus, you need King and Lord Jesus, who rules and reigns by his standards, principles, and commands, and you're not in charge, but he is. That's the kind of Jesus that you and I need, and that's the kind of Jesus that can not just get you to heaven, but put heaven inside of you to walk in the fullness of who he is. We need Jesus. Let your neighbor say, we need Jesus. We need Jesus. You say, pastor, are you sure we have to obey like you just said we have to obey? John chapter 3, verse 36. See this, and anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son, are we seeing this? Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remain under God's angry judgment. How many of you guys know we don't have to live under angry judgment? But the only way you slide out is when you receive Jesus and you obey Jesus. Listen to me. We need to keep teaching our children. We've got to obey the Lord no matter what. It's right there. He said, anyone who believes has eternal. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never. Listen, I am so concerned. There are so many people that fill churches that are not going to heaven. Because they think they are, but they've forgotten what John 3:36 says, because they stopped obeying the Bible and they started obeying their opinion instead. And we have got to be committed to saying, if we need Jesus, we also have to obey him. If you believe that, somebody say amen. But see, what's beautiful about Jesus is more than eternal life. How many of you guys know if you want freedom, you need Jesus? If you want true love and acceptance, you need Jesus. If you want deliverance, you need Jesus. If you want joy and peace and righteousness and healing and purpose and destiny, goodness, mercy, and grace, you still need Jesus. And we need Jesus in every part of our lives. But listen, we need him, and we need a personal and intimate relationship with Jesus. We need to be close to Jesus. We need to live like him, and we need to live for him in every part of our lives. That's what 1 John 2:6 says. It says, for those that say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. So let me tell you, if you're going to live your life as Jesus did, are you ready? That means you have to have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you are going to live your life as Jesus did, you have to have a personal relationship with Holy Spirit. Now, let me answer this question right off the bat. Pastor, do you need the baptism with the Holy Spirit to get into heaven? No, but it sure does help. And I'll go a step further. You may not need him to go to heaven, but you do need him to go to Walmart. Come on, somebody. You need him. More than you ever possibly could have thought that you did. You need the person of Holy Spirit. You need an intimate and real relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you believe it, say amen. So let's keep going in this series, just like Jesus. So let's talk about this for a minute. Because when I talk about that we need a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, this is where some folks, they get uncomfortable, because there are a lot of Christians who hold a distorted, inaccurate, or incomplete view of Holy Spirit. But here's the truth. Are you ready? The Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. Come on now. The Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. And listen, and just like Jesus, are you ready? The Holy Spirit loves you. The Holy Spirit wants to be close to you. The Holy Spirit wants to know you. And listen, the Holy Spirit wants to fill your life with good things. See, just like Jesus is our friend, Jesus is our teacher, and Jesus is our God, Holy Spirit is our friend, he is our teacher, and our God. If you believe that, somebody say amen. See, just like you need Jesus to live in the fullness of the kingdom, and just like you need Jesus to fulfill your God-given purpose and assignment, you also need the Holy Spirit for those things. You need the Holy Spirit to live in the fullness of life in the earth and the kingdom. You need the Holy Spirit to fulfill the assignment that God has placed on you in the earth. And I know some of you, when I made that statement, like, Pastor, is the Holy Spirit really just like Jesus? Yep. Pastor, how do you know? Because Jesus said so. Now, my parents are here today. I told you that. I remember a few times when I kept asking you guys questions, and eventually it was like, no, Derek, why? Because I said so. Did anybody else like when your parents did that? I just want you guys to know publicly, I hated it. I hated it. But I also want to let you guys know publicly that I love when I get to tell my children because I said so. It is so sweet and satisfying. Oh, it's so good. When I get to look at them, Dad, why? Because I said so. Oh, it feels so good. So listen, young people, hang on. It'll feel good in a minute. It is so fun. Come on, look to your neighbor and say, because I said so. Come on, tell them, because I said so. But I need you to see this today because it's true. The reason that we know the Holy Spirit is just like Jesus is because Jesus said so. Jesus said so. Let me show you. John chapter 14, that's where we're headed. We're going to see Jesus. Listen, John 14 is where Jesus introduces the Holy Spirit to his disciples for the first time. So let me give you some context. When Jesus is right now in John 14, he's about 12 to 15 hours away from his arrest and crucifixion. And here's what's interesting. He's not teaching to a crowd. He's not debating with the Sadducees or the Pharisees, but he's having dinner with his closest friends. Why? Because in the kingdom, we're family. Come on, somebody. We're family. But I want you to see this. This is where Jesus begins to reveal the person of Holy Spirit to his disciples. John 14, verses 16 and 17. Here we go. And he said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. I want you to highlight those two words. Ever I say another advocate. He said he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Are you thankful that the Holy Spirit doesn't just walk with us? He lives in us. Man, I'm thankful for the baptism with the Holy Ghost and fire. But it's in these two verses, church, that we see that the Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. Why? Because Jesus said right here, he said, I'll ask the Father and he will give you another. Now let's talk about that word another. That word another in the Greek is the word allos. And it means one besides another of the same kind. It literally means one besides, the word allos means another of the same kind. So Jesus' use of this word allos, he said one beside me and in addition to me, but just like me. He said the Father is sending someone just like me. Jesus was revealing to his disciples this truth, that Holy Spirit does what Jesus would do if he were physically with us right now. That's what the Holy, somebody say amen to the word of God. Man, that's so powerful. We can literally see Jesus said, yes, I am going back to the Father, but the Father is sending not someone that is completely different, but he's sending the Holy Spirit who is just like me, just like me. Now, even what's more amazing, church, is this word allos makes room in its understanding that there are diversities of operation and ministry, but recognize what it's really saying is, you know what? God the Son and God the Spirit are separate, but they're equal. See, that's what we have to remember. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, he is a triune God. They are separate, but they are equal. And we need to recognize and celebrate the fact that we have God the Father, God the Son, and it's not God the Holy Bible, it's God the Holy Spirit. And so I need you to see it. Just like Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit. And then notice something. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit an advocate. That is the word parakletos, which translates into the word helper. Somebody say helper. He's our helper. He says, the Father's gonna send you someone just like me to help you. He's gonna send someone just like me to help you, to comfort you, and to counsel you. And so Jesus was letting his disciples know then what the Word of God is still letting us know today, church, is that even though he went back to the Father, there is still someone in the earth that can walk with us, help us, comfort us, counsel us, and lead us into everything that God desires. And his name is the Holy Spirit. Isn't that powerful, church? His name is the Holy Spirit. And so we can recognize that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Is anybody thankful that God is perfect in all of his ways? He really is perfect. He's not just present, church. He's perfect. But I need us to see this. See, as we go deeper, so Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. And just like we need Jesus, we need Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you, a lot of times when I say Holy Spirit, I don't say the Holy Spirit. You want to know why? Because I take the off because I don't say the Son. I just say Jesus. I don't say the Jesus. So I say Holy Spirit. Can I tell you why I say Holy Spirit? Because he's personal to me. So listen, though. Just like we need Jesus, we need Holy Spirit. Look to your neighbor and say, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. Just like we need Jesus, we need the Holy Spirit. And listen to me. Just like we need a personal relationship with Jesus, we need a personal relationship with Holy Spirit. Why? Because 1 John 2:6 says we are supposed to live our lives just like Jesus did. And guess what? Jesus had an intimate and personal relationship with Holy Spirit. Jesus had an intimate and personal relationship with Holy Spirit. Listen, Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit while he was on earth. And can I tell you, after he got filled with the Holy Spirit on the earth, that's when Jesus started his ministry. Did you know that? Now, I don't have time to get into the fullness of it today, but I need you to recognize something, church. For Jesus to do everything the Father desired him to do on the earth, he had to be anointed and baptized with the Holy Spirit. Let me show you. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Look right here real quick. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Can you guys see that yet? No, hang on. It's coming. Acts 10:38, I want you to see it if we can. It says it. It says, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Somebody say amen to the word. Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. Let me ask the question. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit? Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. There's the text. Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus needed an intimate personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, so do we. We need a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Pastor, how can we have a personal relationship with a spirit? This is where it gets fun. It's easy to have a personal relationship with Jesus because he's a person, but the Holy Spirit is a spirit. Nope. Holy Spirit's a person. Come on, somebody. If you don't believe me, I'm about to show you from the word, and you're gonna be like, okay, pastor got me. The Holy Spirit, you can have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is a person. So are you ready? Let's look at this together. Let's look at this together. The Holy Spirit is a person. Let's go back to John 14. John 14, verses 16 and 17. Is it okay that I teach the rest of the time today? Thank you. How many of you guys remember the difference between a preacher and a teacher? A teacher tells it, a preacher yells it. Come on. I got the yelling out of my system. Let me teach and just talk to you for a minute. John 14, verses 16 and 17. I want you to go back to the text. I want you to see, Jesus said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. Go to verse 17. It is the Holy Spirit. He. Everybody say he. Look at the pronouns Jesus uses when he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, he is the Holy Spirit. Look, and then he says, and because he said the world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him. Notice, there's never a time that Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as an it. He always refers to the Holy Spirit as he or him. So see this, church, just like Jesus, the Holy Spirit is a person. Just like Jesus, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an it or a thing or some kind of impersonal force. But did you know that is a common view for a lot of people? They view the Holy Spirit as a wind, or we need more of it in our lives. There are whole theological systems that have been built around the premise that the Holy Spirit doesn't have personhood. They are incorrect. The Holy Spirit is a person. Somebody say amen. The Holy Spirit is a person. And this is why, listen, if we don't understand the Holy Spirit as a person, it actually presents a problem. Because if the Holy Spirit's not a person, you can never develop a personal relationship with him. So you have to understand and recognize and receive the Holy Spirit is a person. Why? Because you don't develop a personal relationship with a thing or an object. I love shoes. Anybody know I like shoes? You laugh too hard at that. I'm gonna tell you, if I ever tell you I love you like I love my shoes, it's serious, you know what I mean? It's serious. But listen to me, I love my shoes, but they don't love me back. I love my shoes, but they don't love me back. And I'll tell you this, I've never thought about sharing my feelings with my shoes. I've never thought about it. I've never struck up a conversation with them. Just like I've never struck up a conversation with my recliner or the tree in my front yard. And even if I did, you know what? They wouldn't respond. Do you want to know why? Because they're not people. They're not a person. And if you're here today and you tell me that you have struck up a conversation with your tree in your front yard and that tree did respond, I'm going to tell you two things. Number one, you need to check your medication. And if it's right, then you need to share it with everybody else. Come on. Look at your neighbor and say, he's just kidding. He's just kidding. But listen to me. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit, Dad, you're laughing too hard, sir. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. I know it feels more palatable when you say Father and Son to think of them as people, but the reality is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're people. You say, well, Pastor, what constitutes personhood? What constitutes person? Some people might say a person has life. Well, a plant has life, but it's still not a person. A plant has life, but it's still not a person. But a simple definition would be this: a person is a being with a personality. A person is a being with a personality. So let's keep going for a minute. If something doesn't have a personality, it's not a person as we understand the term. But there's actually a deeper definition or answer here. A person is a being with a soul. A person is a being with a soul. Now, how many of you guys know that our soul is made up of three parts? Your mind, will, and emotions. Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Well, let me tell you today, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have a soul. Did you know that? I'm gonna show you. Listen, Matthew 12, 18, we actually find the Father saying, my soul. Matthew 26, 38, we find Jesus saying, my soul. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit is no different. The Holy Spirit has a mind, a will, and an emotions. Go ahead and throw that slide up that shows us. Right there, I'm not gonna go through all those, but you can read those scriptures from the Word of God. Not Derek's opinion, but from the Word of God that's infallible. Come on, somebody. And you can see how the Holy Spirit has a mind, the Holy Spirit has a will, and the Holy Spirit has emotion. Somebody say amen to the Word. And you can check those scriptures and see and understand this. The Holy Spirit is a person. And listen, this is just the first thing from John chapter 14, because it's from this starting point, church, that we discover three distinct truths about the person of Holy Spirit in relation to every believer. Help me just for a minute. I need you to understand, the Holy Spirit is not here for some people. He's here for all people. Everybody should have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Well, Pastor, isn't that reserved for Pentecostals? Oh my gosh. We're gonna talk about that. But I hate to break it to you. Pentecost is not a religion. Pentecost is the kingdom of God. And we're gonna talk about how it's so much more than what people have these man-made opinions of. But the reality is this, is the Holy Spirit is here for every single person on the earth. The Holy Spirit is here for every single person on the earth. But you find three distinct truths about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is our helper, he is our friend, and he is our God. Holy Spirit is our helper, he is our friend, and he is our God. And I need you to see this. Just like Jesus, we have this gift who is the Holy Spirit, who says to each of us, I'm your helper, I'm your friend, I'm your God. I know everything about everything, and I wanna lead you, I wanna empower you and equip you, and I wanna guide you into the fullness of everything Jesus promised you as a son or a daughter in the kingdom of God. Isn't that amazing? That's the gift of the person of Holy Spirit. Let me ask a question before we go any further. How many of you guys are thankful for the gift of Holy Spirit? I'm thankful for the gift of Holy Spirit. But I want to go a little further this morning, because the truth is this, is we really need to get to a place where we say, Holy Spirit, I want you in every part of my life. I want you active and a part of every part of my life. And so I want to finish up today. I want to look at the first of these three distinct truths about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Somebody say, the Holy Spirit helps me. We're going to look really quick. He is our helper. So we can actually see four instances, church, where Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as helper. The first one is in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. We've already read that text. We already saw, because the word advocate, what does the word advocate translate to? Helper. Helper. But I want to show you the next one. John chapter 14. It's in the same chapter, about nine verses down, 25 and 26. This time I'm reading for the New King James Version. It actually uses the word helper. I want you to see it. Here's what Jesus said. He said, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the helper," somebody say helper. Now notice then, "the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you" what? That's deep. "He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance" how much? "All things that I said to you." Listen, he's just like Jesus. See this. The first thing, he teaches us all things. Did you guys know the Holy Spirit is an expert on everything? Did you know that? The Holy Spirit is an expert on everything. And listen, he wants to teach you about everything. Somebody say amen. Never say again that you can't learn it. Yes, you can. If you'll make yourself available to the Holy Spirit can teach you. I hope my wife's not in here, because that means she's going to expect me to do more chores around the house. I can't say I don't know how to do it. She's going to say, no, Derek, the Holy Spirit can teach you. I'm going to tell you, though. You say, well, Pastor, what level can I learn on with the Holy Spirit? It depends on how much you lean into the Holy Spirit. Listen, the level that which you learn with the Holy Spirit is the level which you lean into the Holy Spirit. So many people can know a lot more, but you know what? They don't prioritize closeness with the Holy Spirit. And so they walk in ignorance where they could walk in knowledge. Go to your neighbor and say, that's the truth. That's the truth. But let's keep going for a minute. The Holy Spirit will teach you, listen, he will teach you about the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit will teach you about business. The Holy Spirit will teach you about marriage and family and relationships. So let the Holy Spirit teach you. Let him teach you. Pastor, how do I let the Holy Spirit teach me? I'm going to show you. You ready? You ask him. And you invite him to teach you. Let me show you one scripture. Psalm 37, verse 23. I share this a lot with sons in the Lord, guys that I mentor, people that I encourage. "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives." God delights in the details of your life. How many details? All of them. He delights in the details of your life. So let me ask you a question. If God delights in the details, that means that God wants to be in the details. God wants to be in the details of every part of your life. And if you say, well, Pastor, how can the Holy Spirit teach me in all things? Invite him into the details. Invite him into the details of every part of your life, and the next thing you know, you're going to be learning things from the Holy Spirit, because he's your helper that wants to teach you in everything. Somebody say amen. Here we go. So he wants to teach us in all things. The second thing the Holy Spirit does, I'm going to go quickly. He brings to your memory everything Jesus has said. He reminds you of everything Jesus has said. Now, how many of you guys know that's important because Jesus was our example on the earth? Because we're supposed to live what? Just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. How he lived, how he responded, his perspective on eternal things, his perspective on temporal things. Listen, this is how all four of the Gospels are so amazingly detailed and in agreement. Why? Because the Holy Spirit brought to the memory of those who wrote the Gospels. He brought it to their memory of everything Jesus said. And so understand something. If you walk with the Holy Spirit and have a personal relationship, he will bring to your memory things that Jesus has said that you can declare over yourself, declare over every situation and circumstance, and live in the truth of what Jesus has already declared. Isn't that powerful? He does those things. The number three, I got two more. The third thing the Holy Spirit does, he brings a life free of deception. And I'm gonna tell you something. You wanna know how I know how the world needs more of the Holy Spirit? We got a lot of deceived folks right now. What's dangerous is we got a lot of deceived people that are in church right now, that are trying to lead churches right now. We need a life free of deception. Let me show you. A life free of deception. The third instance, John 15, 26. Here it is. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Notice, Jesus calls him the Spirit of what? Truth. And Jesus did this in John 14 as well. Why? Because Jesus presents the Holy Spirit to us as the ultimate answer to overcoming and undoing the work of Satan and his lies in our lives. He's the Spirit of truth. Listen, you want to stop walking in the lies of the enemy? Get close to the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of truth in every part of our lives. And we can see in God's word for thousands of years, since Adam and Eve, mankind stumbled in the darkness of the devil's lies. But we know what Jesus said. Jesus declared himself to be the way, the truth, and the life. And he announced he would be sending a helper, listen, who would make it possible for you and I to live free of deception. Free of deception. But it only happens when you have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And you say, Holy Spirit, lead me into all truth. Somebody say, all truth. Is it your truth? Oh, here we go again. It's the truth of the kingdom of God. It's not the truth mingled with your opinion. It's not the truth mingled with Oprah. Come on, somebody. It's the truth. And the truth shall set us free. He leads us into all truth. Come on, are you ready? Last one. In fact, go ahead and stand all over the room. Come on. Last one for today. Has anybody learned anything so far today? Last thing. The Holy Spirit, our helper, he guides us into all truth and tells of things to come. See this for a minute as our worship team gets ready. John chapter 16, Jesus gives the disciples his most thorough introduction. Right here, John 16, 7. Here's what he says. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go. Isn't that crazy that Jesus said that? Can you imagine what they said in that moment? They're like, for real, Jesus, stop. Quit playing. He said, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. You say, well, how is it even possible to our advantage that Jesus would go and the Holy Spirit would come? Here's what Jesus explains a couple verses down. Verses 12 through 14, are you ready? He said, I still have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Do you even see in that verse the Holy Spirit is just like Jesus? See this now. He says, listen. He said he's going to guide you into all truth. What an amazing benefit of having a friendship and relationship with the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all truth. But this is the part that blows me away. He will tell you of things to come. He will tell you of things to come. The Holy Spirit will tell and reveal the future to you. How many of you guys would like for the Holy Spirit to reveal things to come to you? If the Holy Spirit is not revealing things to come to you, it's not his fault. He's ready. He wants to help you and share those things with you. But you got to get close enough to listen and close enough to hear and be led into all truth. So here's what I want to do, I want to start today and how I want to close today. Some of you are like, Pastor, this is great, but let's not get too deep into this, okay? Because this feels a little weird. No. The Holy Spirit is not weird. The Holy Spirit's wonderful. He's wonderful. Listen, you say, well, Pastor, how about I just open up a little bit of the door of my life so he can just get a foot in? Because I'm not sure if the Holy Spirit can control himself. Hey, he's God. If you can trust Jesus, you can trust the Holy Spirit. You can trust him. And so rather than you being like, hey, just let me get my toes in the water, how about you just say, Holy Spirit, I'm ready to have a real relationship with you. And I'm gonna press into you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I want you to be my helper. I want you to lead me into all truth. I want you to tell me of things to come. Holy Spirit, I want you to help me live a life free of deception. Holy Spirit, I want you to teach me in all things.